So we'll have the opening ceremony in the evening after we talk a little. Once we get to know each other in the workshop and seminar that we'll have after the lesson, after that we'll have the opening ceremony. So that's what's written in the schedule. Now we are beginning to talk about the peace, right? The article, the peace, in the book Kabbalah for the Student. And these are very relevant things. Normally, we study the wisdom of Kabbalah in general. All the years were like a preparation for what's happening now. When I started studying, say about 30 years ago, we studied what's more important, what's less important. Wasn't really clear. It wasn't quite clear what was going on. We studied especially Talmud Esar Sfirot, the study of the Ten Sfirot. Personally, I studied with Rabash a little more of the book of Shamati, the book Shamati. The articles were not in print yet. Here and there, they were kind of circulated among the students. And we studied in general. The more we moved towards the 21st century, the study became more and more oriented, directed. We studied less of Talmud Esar Sfirot and more of internal work. And that's what happened, that's what's been happening in the last, say, 10 years or so, even more. Since 1995 until about half a year ago. And now that such a drastic change has started in the world, we can no longer study the way we did before. So it determines what we study and how we study. It also determines not only how we study, but how we work in our general factory, world factory. If previously we wanted to translate all of Baal HaSulam's books, the lessons and the articles, the things we say, and, well, you can say that we pretty much completed this work. By translating, I mean, first, previously we had a question about English and Russian, the two primary languages besides Hebrew. And we did that. Now, in English, we are printing the book Kabbalah for the Student, Kabbalah al-Matkhil. The Zohar has been printed, Kabbalah for the Student, the way we study it every day in the morning in our lessons. It's in the printing press right now. You can even register, and the book will be sent to your home right here in the bookstand. You can write your name down, leave your address, and everything else. And as soon as we finish this work, this dramatic global change occurred. And that's the global crisis. We've been talking about it for a long time. It's not like you could say we were waiting for it. We were hoping for good things, for humanity to wake up without these blows. But we know that the blows awaken us. someone could give me something to write with. Someone in charge. We know that we are the consequences of the world of Ein Sof. In the world of Ein Sof, the upper force called Creator created us a single desire with a single light within it, and that state is the permanent, constant state. Oh. Yudit always saves the day. So from the world of Ein Sof, we declined in our consciousness. It grew dark. There was concealment through five worlds: the world of Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. And we came down to the lowest degree called this world. And on our whole way from above downwards, as we traverse the five worlds times five Pratsufim, in each world times five Sfirot, in each Pratsuf 125 degrees, 5 to the power of 3. Of these 125 degrees, we who are here in this world have Rishimot, recollections of all those degrees. After all the history we've been through here in this world, over the last over thousands of years, we've come to a state where we have to realize these Rishimot. Baal HaSulam says that it's the first time that the first to realize these Rishimot was someone who lived 5,700 what? 69 years? Okay, 69 years. Whose name was Adam?
Adam.
He was the first of the whole of the human species in whom the desire began to rise back up to the world of Ein Sof. And he discovered the wisdom of Kabbalah. He was the first to discover it. In other words, he was the first to discover that we come from Ein Sof and that we have to climb back up there, and that that's our purpose, our vocation. That's why we're here in this world. And it is precisely in this world, while we are here in this world, completely detached from all the spiritual degrees, we can acquire these spiritual degrees independently of the spiritual worlds and the spiritual degrees. We're always on the ground. If I have this, if I want to, I can advance. If not, I don't. That way we maintain our free choice in our spiritual development. And when he discovered it, he discovered it personally, in a personal, by himself, alone. And how a person should do it alone, on a personal level. And that's how it went on for 20 generations following him. From Adam through Noah, that's 10 generations. And from Noah to Abraham, that's another 10. Abraham lived in Babylon. In Babylon. How do you spell it? And he discovered, as we said today, he discovered the wisdom of Kabbalah through a crisis that occurred there in a small place in Babylon. It was in the exact same situation as today. Two forces began to appear. One force is nature. They were in one location. So nature pressured them to unite in their connections, in their interconnections on the one hand. On the other hand, each of them felt that he was an egoist. So inside, they wanted to break loose from these pressures. And that's the conflict or problem that they were experiencing. Abraham, one of them, was an idol worshiper. He was a philosopher or a scientist of those times. There were others like him, of course, but he was the one who discovered why this state appeared in the first place, that it came to force humanity to unite, to be as one. And some of those people continued following their egos, and some followed Abraham. And then the Torah was written later on, the book of Zohar, the Torah meaning the Pentateuch, where it says that at the end of the 20th century, even though humanity has been scattered all over the continents from Babylon, so now there's no pressure on them to unite, but that state would repeat itself when in the 20th century they would come to such a state that once again there will be a small village as in Babylon, and then they'll have nowhere to run, and they will have to realize the law of nature of being one, just as we are in Ein Sof. In Ein Sof, the Creator is one and the creature is one. And they are together. Now, we need to climb back up to Ein Sof, to that state. Precisely by the same degrees as we came down. And Kabbalists said that it would appear at the end of the 20th century and continue. That's what we thought should happen. Although I saw no reason for it to happen. While I was studying with Rabash, we were studying just as Kabbalists have been studying 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. A teacher and a student sitting and studying from day to day, and nothing was changing in the world. No one was talking about Kabbalah. If you said you were studying it, they thought you were crazy. They thought you were, you know, that you were, that they didn't know what was it you needed. And, you know, they were afraid of it. They had all kinds of prejudice and stigmas about it. And it's a wonder, but as it's written in the Zohar, all of a sudden it began to happen. And today, we're facing a general crisis, where humanity is discovering that it really is in a global small village, where everyone depends on everyone else, and that we must, by nature's law, be connected. We're discovering how it affects even the most bogus systems that we designed them ourselves. The financial system, what could be more artificial? We get along among ourselves, we write our own contracts, we create, you know, the banking system. Money is something very artificial. You don't have it in nature, only at the human level. All of a sudden, we're discovering that because people are creating these systems, within this system there's a human nature. And these systems then become opposite to the common law of nature. We learn that there are degrees of desires in a person. Desires that belong to our body, to the body. These are desires for food, sex, and family. Then, money, honor, and knowledge. That has to do with society. And the first has to do with the body. Yeah, with the socio. In the food, sex, family degrees, we're like animals. In the degrees where we're all connected, which are money, honor, and knowledge, and power, these are desires of the general human society. And this is where the crisis is, where it's breaking down, because Adam HaRishon, this whole body, this one soul was broken into pieces, and according to nature, this body has to become one again. So, in desires for money, honor, and knowledge, we have to come to be as one. And now that we are especially now that we have already came out to this first level of our imbalance with the world, at the monetary degree, at the degree of money, we feel it in that system. It's the financial system, and there's this whole issue of money in the world. And that's just the first degree. It's just the beginning. Because we're not united among us in order to be similar to the comprehensive global nature. In that alone, we have many more surprises to come yet in matching nature's system at the money level. Beyond that, we have honor, power, knowledge. These could be blows, terrible blows and terrible crises. And at the degree of knowledge, we can't even imagine what is preparing for us. It turns out that we're just seeing the beginning of the way. And we're the ones who are actually building this way. Because from above downwards, as we came down, we went down from one to as many people as we have today, say 7 billion souls. We have Rishimot that we have to realize. Now that we're all 7 billion souls, we have to become as one again. Global means global, and a small village is a small village. So we have to be as one body.
Therefore, as much as we study today what happened with nature, in what law we operate, what we should reach to in order to maintain ourselves, then the more we will succeed. First of all, we'll protect ourselves from the blows. Because those blows, it's not that it just come to us by some upper external godly desire in heaven that send us some blows. Rather, if from these Ashimot now come to me according to my degree, I deserve to reach a certain degree, say to realize Ashimot number 20, and I haven't reached that degree, I'm still in Ashimot number 5, let's say, then from 5 to 20, 15, those 15 Ashimot is what presses on me in a negative way, that I'm delayed in my development, and that's what I feel as a blow, as pain, as a lack of health, a lack of success, lack of some luck in the family, with the kids, with in anything. It's truly encompassing me in everything, mainly around fear, security, and today and tomorrow, 1,001 manifestations. And that's how it will develop if we don't learn very quickly how we can, according with the revelation of the Shemot, of these Shemot, to realize it immediately. That is the goal. Besides, they explain to us, the Kabbalists have already been through that path, they tell us, you not only escape the blows, to escape the blows, it's not such a big deal. And besides, okay, the blows would force you to move forward, whether you want it or not. Rather, the problem is different. It's not a problem, it's like, there's a great gain waiting for you here. And if you yearning of your own accord before the blows come to you, say, this is I. And if from behind blow comes, then I'm running away from it. I'm running away like a beast, like an animal that always escaping. There's a beat from this side, you're escaping the other side, you're beating from the other side, you run to the other side. And that's how we are every day, trying to balance our lives. They say, that's not the matter. You can gain here. You can benefit the revelation of godliness. You can move from this state if you're yearning by yourself and you start yearn towards the positive, to be as one, to be as the creator, one equal the creator. You will reveal him, the upper force that operates the whole of reality. There's nothing more, there's only one force. You would identify with it, you'd understand it, the whole of creation. With that, you will gain, by knowing this force, to be like it, because you accept it. It starts ruling you, and then you raise yourself above the physical, corporeal nature. You start to acquire the same qualities that the Creator has, the force of nature. By that, you become eternal, whole, just like the rest of nature. Only with the condition that this positive force would be bigger than that negative force. Meaning, in your yearning forward, that you're not escaping the blows, rather you develop yourself, that gravity towards, or pulling force towards that integrity, towards that globalization, towards bestowal, towards giving, unity, love the neighbor as yourself, which is the slogan of that is known to everyone. If you yearn to that more than what the blows surpass you, you want to advance yourself in that gap, in that difference. Just like here, in this gap, you feel the force of the negative blow, then if this is greater than that, if the force of attraction is greater, by that you reveal in you the qualities of the Creator. And in that you become like Him. Meaning, in all the blows and all the process we are going through, there is a wondrous opportunity to ascend above this world and to reveal that same part of the concealed reality, because of which we don't know where we exist, what we're born for, where we come from, where we're going, what will be with us after death, and so on. Meaning 1001 questions, even about nowadays destiny, what's going to happen now, where the thoughts come from, and my desires in every given moment. All of that, I will know then, I will control it, even much further than that, because our world is truly is a grain of, small grain, versus the world of Ein Sof. This is, in essence, what is called
the call of the hour.
The call of the hour, that we are in a new era, and we can attain now truly spirituality and eternity. Besides, for those people who are given the desire, the internal urge is revealed in them, in their soul, this ability, this tendency, this desire for it, that up front they, you know, you guys, you are here, you're given from above to be in a positive tendency, yearning, more than the blows. You don't feel the blows as much. You feel that you're lacking something ahead of you. These people are truly special. These people, that's what is called the point in the heart. They of special desire. Because this desire is truly to advance towards the goal, not to escape from the blow. Therefore, we have to understand that we are given this desire from above, then we have work to do with it. We are special from the rest of humanity because of the ability to learn how to come to that same goal, how to show others, how to teach them. It is written about it, how we should do it, and we is that same special part of humanity, which is as the tour guide. You would see to what extent will be revealed more and more that there's a great need of each and everyone, both men and women, in the kids that are raised together with us in the same path and understand already out of being with us together naturally. And therefore, everyone has to be out of the path itself, which is towards unity, towards general love, has also make sure that it will be the active part in dissemination and in teaching and guiding the nation.
The world,
sorry. So here we are in a very important meeting that we never had such congress, although we had, when were we in Odessa? Yeah, in September. But it's still, the crisis wasn't revealed yet, you see. 2 months has gone by, and see how much the world is thinking differently. 2 months only. We had about 700 people there, yeah, in Odessa. It's on the Black Sea. And we haven't talked about it. There's nothing to talk about. There's something to talk about, unity, connection. But for us, not that the world is compelling us, not that the world is obliged We talked about dissemination, about how to build a world clay. Now for us, if this thing becomes secondary in its importance, then from coming to the world and bringing to the world the system of correction, because the time has changed. Today, according to the call of the hour, we have to teach the world what are the problems, what it depends on what our state is dependent, how can we come out of it, and so on. Before, it wasn't that on the outside, no one really wanted to hear about it. Aside from those people with a dot in the heart, who gather all over the world in our congresses, or those who can't are in a virtual connection with us, the rest of the people are apathetic. Now, those that according to the soul have the revelation of their point in the heart, this positive yearning, the others start to run also by the blows, by the negative. And our work is, in fact, is to determine here. It is written, he corrects himself by connecting to the world, by working with the world, determining himself and the whole world to the scale of merit, meaning each and every one of us has to be responsible to keep that balance. That the yearning forward would be greater than the pulling backwards. That each and every one must care for it. That's a different work to what we thought before. Of working between us, not with the world, rather, you know, dissemination, yes. Not to that degree. Now, that has become the most important thing. And accordingly, we're changing the orders of our work, the priorities in a factory with all the groups, all the material that is written, the consultation, talking a lot about this process that the world is at, because we want to clarify, scrutinize together, all of us, how we can participate in that, how we can advance, because if prior to now my advancement was dependent on the group, now the advancement of the group is dependent on the world. To the degree that we influence the world, it give to the world, it turns out that I need to think about my participation as much as I can advance and publicize and teach and whatever I can do to lift this whole great mass in order to keep the positive balance, to be higher. And then to the degree that I caused it, I receive back the degree of revelation of godliness on me. Because if till now the calculation was personal, individual, say I. Now there is no I. If we enter that global village, all of us together, then the more I cause healing for this whole human society, to that degree I receive, and nothing else. Because we came to a level whereby nature treats us as one body. Therefore, this Congress is indeed the first one we're talking about it. And therefore, it's going to be our main topic. Besides, of course, there'll be questions and answers, and we'll study other things as well. Also, whoever wants to clarify other things that of concern to them or bother them will dedicate time to it. Yes, please.
This morning, you said that our purpose is to disseminate as much as possible. So now we need to get to Obama or Putin. But I also suggest why go from below? Instead of going from above, I suggest we go from below. If marketing starts from local groups, this morning you asked for something. You had a concrete idea. So I have a suggestion. New people like me in the world have a great desire. If we would go through a crash course for joining people and then bringing them on to the RE Online the way I did it, and then I think in this way we can draw a lot more people in. Because I know that we're making a lot of efforts on the RE Online to bring in people, but I think it only brings people who are ready. What about people who are victims? There are many people who are willing to listen to me or to other people. If we have a way to touch them through our local groups, could that be a way to move the process forward? We'll talk about it. I don't know. The truth is, in that, I don't know more than you. Just by experience, from what I think today, I don't think that being dispersed into local, small groups is good. It disperses our energies. We've already seen how it produces a lot of places in the local place. All the preparations for lessons and for talks require a lot of energy and a lot of putting into, whereas via the internet, the way you studied in the RE Online, and all of a sudden you discovered us nearby, that doesn't require much effort. Everyone has it anyway at home. The studio is in your own home. You can sit comfortably. Either live or in your own free time, you can participate. We just have to, in addition to the study system, to the curriculum and to the teaching, which of course we still have to develop some more, especially the main thing we need to develop is a social system. And when we develop it thoroughly, so a person feels that he is, that wherever he is in the world, he's with everyone else. So he really feels that. Yes. How those who are behind the screens can feel themselves different than those who are here, or even in the dining hall the way we had it. It doesn't matter how. Today the internet gives you a feeling of really kind of an illusion of being there. So, I saw people who were inspired by the Yeshivat Chavarim who are behind the screens. I saw them crying and laughing and jumping and dancing. I don't think that instead of that, splitting everyone into small groups would be good. We saw that it produces only many problems. Everyone wants to be a manager. Everyone wants to be somebody. They start caring for their own place more than caring for the world and for the general group. We're still not corrected. So it produces more problems than gains. and prophets. More? If there are no questions, we'll continue according to the material they chose. Or you want to ask? Yes, please. I just... No. Don't stand there. You'll be given that. Please sit down for now. I just want to ask, raise your hands, all those who are with us in the lesson every day, or on some other time, not live, but follow our material every day. Aha. And the rest are studying not at all, or just a few times a week? Well, how can we know? In other words, what can I rely on? On you knowing the material, not knowing it? Do you know what we're talking about every day or not? Who doesn't know the material we've been studying in the past month at the center, at the Dimbuch Center? Please raise your hands. Who doesn't know it? That's it? Okay. Yes, please. Microphone, please.
But as for me, as I understand it, it's like if I stand in front of a lion and he's hungry, it will eat me. What is this nature of laws that you are always speaking of?
He's translating the question. Perhaps it's written here in what we wanted to study. The law of nature is we are in a certain world, in some reality. I'm present there. Either I'm like some primordial, you know, caveman chasing an animal, wanting to hunt it and eat it. Or maybe I'm a farmer producing crops, baking bread and so on. Or I am in more advanced times, I have technology, I have factories and culture and education and whatnot. It doesn't matter. But I'm in something called reality, the world. What is this reality? What is it? We call it nature. And what is nature? Nature. He wrote nature. As you can see. Does this nature have a law or not? We see many laws in our world. We discover them more and more. Laws like gravity, electromagnetic force, the laws of expansion of light, and all kinds of laws on inanimate, vegetative levels, where we study botany, at the animate levels, like zoology, at the human level, the human body, like medicine. So we study laws, and these laws exist in the world, and I just discovered them. They were there before I discovered them, and once I discovered them, I can use them. The more of the laws of the world that I know, and the better I keep them, the more I'll gain. If I don't know some law and it exists, then it doesn't matter if I know it or not. That law will affect me. And accordingly, if I don't know about gravity, I'll fall off the 10th floor and that's the end of it. But if I do know about gravity and I know, say, about the laws of aerodynamics, then I could use them. I could use the laws of aerodynamics to build wings, so I'll create a plane, so I won't fall off the 10th floor, etc. So knowing the laws is what helps me in this world use the world to my benefit. And the laws exist. All of these laws, Kabbalah says, are under one common law, which is a law that acts not at the inanimate level, not at the vegetative level, not at the animate level, but at the speaking level. At the speaking level. That's how these laws operate. Every law at a higher degree contains the laws of the lower degree within it. Say, at degree number one, you have laws of minerals, geology. On degree number two, you have laws of botany, which contain within them, of course, all of these laws. In the animate level, you have zoology, biology, and botany and geology. All, you have all of them in there. At the speaking degree, it's not about our body anymore, because our body is an animal. Our body is like any animal. The difference between the third and fourth degrees, between the animate and speaking, is in the internality of man. In our mind and heart, in our brains and in our hearts. In man, the special thing about man, beyond animals, is something very special called the sensation of the other. That's the difference between number three and four. Had it not been for the sensation of others, we'd be like animals. The sensation of others helps me sense others, see what they have, and absorb, acquire from them the mind and heart that I don't have. Meaning, if I belong to the speaking degree, I can acquire from the environment. Acquire meaning to receive, to purchase, to acquire qualities, desires, thoughts, to enhance them, things that I did not receive at childhood. Meaning I can develop myself more than what I was born with. It's something that doesn't exist in animal. An animal that's born exists the way it was born its whole life, with its brain and its sensations. It doesn't grow, it doesn't develop. Man grows and develops, and it all depends on the environment. If you live him in the woods among animals, it'll be an animal. If you bring him into the human society, depending on which human society, he'll absorb from the environment its emotions and brains and all. And in fact, if you take an animal like a cat or a dog and put it among people, they will not change. They'll stay animals. A man, by being among people, acquires everything from them, absorbs everything from them. So we are unique in nature because we can acquire from the environment a mind, reason, and emotions that we didn't have at birth. That's what we study on ourselves or off of ourselves. And so the forces that operate, the laws that operate at the human level, are the highest laws and contain everything we know about animals, plants, and about the minerals. Every law we study in the world exists within man. And a special and the highest law affects man, the law of bestowal, love. It's a law that affects the whole of creation, in fact, but especially man. We sense this law in the functioning of the whole universe, in how all the parts of the organism are in contact and in equilibrium between them. We feel this law when we study the human body, how all the systems and organs have to be balanced, pressures. The interconnections between the body parts and the organs, how the body monitors its systems, how each cell and organ must care for the functionality of the whole body because it comes back to it. If something's wrong in the body, in some place in the whole body suffers. We study from all these degrees, still vegetative, animate, and speaking, we study this common law. This common law. And this law is called nature or God. And it is one. And precisely because it gives, and because it's one, and loving, and has only, its only concern is what happens, the still vegetative and animate that are, and speaking that are inside of it, this law governs everything and can let everything develop, because development has to be balanced and reciprocal. As we develop in this reality, in nature or God or whatever, we develop through our historic periods from still-like or vegetative-like or speaking-like or animate-like or speaking-like degrees. In previous times, we developed like minerals. What does it mean? We lived as nature does. Afterwards, we developed some more like plants, meaning we started searching how we could improve our lives. We went out of the caves and started developing agriculture. Then, as we developed further, we started developing industry, education, society. There were the social revolutions. Today, we're at the last level of development called the human level. Human, man, comes from, in Hebrew, from the word similar. Similar to God, Adam Dome. Adam means human, Dome means similar to God. And that's the degree we have to achieve. As long as we were developing in our previous degrees, still vegetative and animate, within man, nature did not treat us as one body. It treated us, it just kind of said, grow. Go ahead and grow. Revolutionize technology, society, build things, develop and grow. When we arrived at the last degree of development, of evolution, through our physical interconnections, also, as well as the social one, and the financial one, and the industrial, and in everything really, we have come to a point where we are as one. These are not Kabbalists, but scientists, thinkers, businessmen, financiers, bankers, they are determined that we are in, they have determined that we are in a global village, not Kabbalists. The name Global Village isn't coming from Kabbalah. It appeared about 40, 50 years ago. It started with Club of Rome. That's where it started. That's when they started discovering that we're like that and how we should accordingly change, and that we should also behave as being in a single village and like a big family. So when this necessity appears in us, there's nothing we can do. So we see that today, that's how nature is treating us. And we don't have a choice anymore. Whether we want to or not, we have to keep it. And that law is the most comprehensive, and it'll affect all other laws. And here the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us, Baal HaSulam tells us, that those who will not keep this law, the right attitude between man and man, as in one system, those who will not will absorb such blows at the ecological level, like climate level, like heat waves and cold and whatnot, at the animate level, like plagues, blows in the form of, say, starvation because of plants, because the soil will turn infertile. Because this law is at the highest degree and it affects all the other degrees. And that's why we still can't research and understand, although we're trying. Us meaning scientists. We want to understand how the lack of connection between us affects climate, for example.
Affects, say, some other blows out there. Now we reveal many new diseases. But still we don't understand it because the system is very deep and concealed from us. So the wisdom of Kabbalah, you can reveal and see the connectivity between all the degrees. However, on the degree of humans, which, you know, a person is not in the matter, cannot see how it spread and creates and manage our world, then it's hard to understand it. But for sure, and it's also written in the Zohar, in the book of Zohar, that whoever does not execute or maintain that law of mutual responsibility, then he brings to the world both evil and
famine
and blows and diseases and all the degrees, basically. That we will have to explain to the whole world. Meaning the fact that we entered a new era in revealing the connection between us as a small village, which is it is a very big blow, because before we didn't reveal it. The nature wasn't with us, in contrast to us. Now that we emerge in our egoistic development to close ourselves in that small village, you know. Now before we had America, Australia, maybe Alaska. Now there's no difference. We don't understand to what extent there is no difference. We are all interconnected. Once we came to that degree of connection, that's it. Now nature treats us in a very short, concise way. It's a very big problem. Humanity is still do not understand how much it is a problem. They start to understand how we're going to arrange the financial system. They think that's the only problem. They also understand that it's not just that. There's also the connection, the lack of confidence, and so on. They talk about it, but they don't understand how deep it is and to what degree it requires a total change of our thoughts and perception and interrelations around the world. It is only now beginning. Okay? Any other questions? If not, yeah? Please.
Microphone.
Give them a mic, please.
Of
course.
Ich habe eine Frage zur Verbreitung.
Maybe if you come out, they will see you.
Und zwar, es heißt, der Schöpfer verteilt die Punkte im Herzen. Welchen Einfluss haben wir mit unserer Verbreitungsarbeit darauf, wie viele Punkte im Herzen verteilt werden? An welche Menschen richten wir uns mit der Verbreitungsarbeit?
Unfortunately, I don't know German yet. No? Okay, someone's translating.
No. Microphone machine, no?
Okay, give him the next mic. Who are we turning with our dissemination to? We are turning in our dissemination to everyone. We cannot choose nowadays. If the world is round, if everything is dependent on everyone, if we're all interconnected to one another, even though we hate one another and we cannot accept one another. But there's no choice. And it is also written about it in our articles about the society that we studied even before the revelation of the crisis. It is written the following. People who want to connect out of a lack of connection are gathering because they are told that to attain the purpose of life, you can only attain it through the connection. Talking about the wisdom of Kabbalah. Who among us wants to connect with others? Even though we study the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's against our nature. What should we connect for? They say that feel good with others. Okay, it's in the society. But we usually, those that come to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, they're not such people. They're very individual, you know. So they come. And on the one hand, they want to reach the goal, they feel the lack. On the other hand, they're told you can only do it through the connection. They see that this connection, what do we need connection? I hate them, I don't care about them. But out of the lack of choice, they slowly start to understand that we have to connect the spiritual world and the Creator and my eternal life, everything revealed in my connection with others. That in that, I'm killing my ego. And by the quality of love, although I don't want it. And then inside this quality of love, I reveal eternity, wholeness, and the world of Ein Sof, and so on. So also, in our studying, they are, to some extent, they are the same processes as in the world. We don't want to connect. We hate one another. And it is written, simply, that people who hate each other and must connect. They must connect. And it is also the same for the world. The only difference is that we are attracted to the goal, that we have a point in the heart, some necessity to reach something. And that is why, out of lack of choice, we connect. And the world, not because it is attracted to goal, but rather because it is pushed to it by the blows. Out of lack of choice, they're connected. We, by the positive force that we want to reach the goal, we are connected. And these guys would let go of self-love and connect with others because they would like to disconnect from their problems, from the blows. So, this is why dissemination has to be for everyone, men and women and kids, all the ages, all the languages, because if everyone is simply in one system, so what's the difference? What difference is there? Now, there could be a difference. What you're asking depends who we're reaching, who we're trying to reach, because there are people that on them depend on more options for dissemination. Say, if I come to some, I reach some important person who holds the media, or TV, radio, press, if I can reach a person that has lots of means, money, and is willing to help in all kind of on the same channels and through TV and radio and newspapers. We don't need more than education. We, in essence, just like we educate ourselves to be in humanity, in a unique humanity,
united
as a united unit, that's what we have to teach everyone else. We are an education system. So people who can influence that are obviously more important to us. To reach them. Okay? Yes. I would put two stands here for the mics, like we had in the Congress. If he wants to talk, come here and talk and ask. Yes. I wanted to ask, how am I supposed to behave? Today is... with people whom I know the evil in them, but I must work with them. So how am I supposed to behave in our daily life? Let's say I know 20 people. Out of them, I already put 10 aside that I know I don't want to work with them. But there are people I must work with. How am I supposed to behave in my daily life? I don't understand what you're talking about. How can you work with bad people? First of all, everyone is bad or evil out of the fact that this is how we're born. There's no good person. We are all egoists. Everyone is willing to use the whole world for their own small benefit. And we don't make any consideration to anyone in any possible way, because if I understand the person's nature, then I don't expect him to be good. I know that this is him. That's his nature to start with. Rather, I have to explain to him what is the purpose of life. What is the purpose of all these events that are taking place? And without treating him good, bad, is harming or benefiting, seemingly, that it seems to me. I treat him like this part. And we can heal, we can correct. So I need to help. And if I start to treat people like you say, I put them aside, they're bad. So I decided they are bad, that they are bad in relation to me, and therefore I put them aside. This is my ego telling me. If I treat the world, I have to treat everyone equally. Doesn't matter who and what. It could be the most damaging and could be seemingly the most holy one, irrelevant. We all the same. And everyone has to come to correction. And if a person has been born with more evil qualities than others, then he was born like that. There's not fault in it. We have to ascend above our ego, above our observation of who's good and who's bad, and treat everyone as if it's completely irrelevant to me. When I'm a doctor and someone and a patient is coming to me, so do I check his personality, or do I have to fix his body? This is the same here. I will learn those things slowly. That's all right. Yeah, that's okay.
Все-таки большинство людей пришло сюда не из-за страданий ведомых, а неосознанно как-то что-то движет нами, мы действуем. Почему так мало людей пробуждается?
It's not to translate. He asked, actually, people didn't come from problems and suffering. They come from the goodwill. What about these people? Meaning there are a lot of people who are coming not out of suffering, but rather out of their desire to advance, yeah? And what is the question then? What about them? Ah, okay. Why so few people awaken for positive awakening towards the Creator? And the world is seemingly still apathetic to all those things and has to be awakened by the blows.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very simple. You know, the percentage or the weight of the body that monitors the body, it's not even the kilo weight, the kilo of brain compared to the body, which is 1%. But within the brain, if you calculate where is the headquarters, you'll discover it's maybe 10 or 20 grams. The rest is storage system, filtering, comparing, all kinds of things. It's not my field of expertise, but I used to be a little into it. So then calculate how many people it should take all over the world to be like the spiritual brain of the world. Perhaps 600,000. And that's it. 600,000. What's 600,000? Really, it's like a small village or a town, whatever. 600,000 men, men meaning force of bestowal, the women are the deficiency, and the men are the force of bestowal on top of that deficiency, and that's it. That's all there is. The world doesn't need more than that. The rest awakens in it out of suffering, out of recognition that it has to change. So don't expect masses of people flocking in. I always drew these things like a pyramid. Like a pyramid. How many rocks do you have in the universe? Billions of tons? How many plants? How many animals? And how many people? That's the right ratio between the people that are leaders of spirituality in the world, leading humanity to spirituality, compared to the rest of the world. But in the body, you see how the whole body contains many systems and parts that are active but are operated by those few. That's why you have to understand that you are those few. And look from how many nationalities and countries and races, and all of a sudden someone wakes up from there. What? How could this be? He heard about it. Suddenly he gets a desire for it. He gets a chance to come to us, to bond with us, without any kind of introduction to it. But the Rishimot awaken and bring him through this field, through this common force field. I think the battery is out. So in this common force field of nature that appears in the world, love, the giving, when he has a reshimo, that's also towards love and giving, he's like an electric charge in an electric field, moving towards its place of equilibrium. Did you study a little bit of electrostatics in school. So that's how he gets there. That's how we are. If we have a desire in the heart for spirituality, then in the spiritual field we're in, which we currently don't feel, we move to the right place. And that's how you move. And that's why you are very special. And that's how you should be treated. It is written in the articles about society that everyone must treat his friends as being special, as being the greatest in the generation, as being a person of one of a select few. There are about 500,000 people among the billions of people there are. And it doesn't take that many. As many as we have waking up, it's fine. The quantity here is never the thing. The higher things come always through individuals in the world. That's how it always is. All kinds of special revelations and revolutions, special discoveries, always depend on one, maybe two or three people maximum, usually one. And here too, look, compared to the whole of humanity, what? But the more we are united, that will be the spiritual force that will govern us, and by that we'll be able to draw the whole world towards spiritual elation. They'll just feel it. They will. You'll see that in the next 6 months to a year, you'll see in a year's time if we have the same kind of assembly or a congress here or elsewhere in Europe, you'll see how the world and us have changed and the world's attitude towards us, undoubtedly. Yes. Thomas from Lithuania.
Мы используем понятие удар. Какое соотношение этого понятия с понятием помощь против него?
When we talk about the crisis, we use a term called the term blow. What's the connection between that term and help against him? To advance towards the goal, we are operated by two forces, as we said, the negative force and the positive force. It's as in life. We can lure a child with some candy or a gift, or we can pressure him to the point of beating, of physical pressure. And that's us. It could be a person or the whole of humanity that's advancing this way towards the goal. These blows are they called help against him or not? There's a concept called help against him. Being help against him, for the blow to be help against him, depends on you. Because I have to understand, to decipher the blow correctly. Say, if those bankers, those heads of states that are gathering in America, the 20 heads of states, gather and seemingly discuss the future of the world that they can determine. They don't understand. They're puppets and everything is determined from above and it depends not on them but on the common folk. And they are only following orders from above. Here you have the mass itself, humanity, those 7 billion. These billions, are they in balance with nature or not? This is what determines. And then from above, through the government, which are those 20 heads that are standing there and are about to meet, through them, all kinds of orders descend on us, or laws. But they don't feel that they are operated from above, through nature. And nature is operated through the masses. I've actually said plebs. So this understanding that we suffer blows, and these blows position us in contradiction to nature, and we have to feel these blows, sense them as purposeful, this is called help against him. In other words, if I, like a child, suffer a blow, and I feel that this blow is correct and good and directs me towards a solution, and through it I understand what the problem is, then I'm happy. And that happiness is a sign that I'm in a state of kind of help against him. Let's put it this way. We all have all kinds of problems in the world. Let's take another example. There's a sick person, God forbid. And he doesn't feel that he's sick. Is this good? No, it's bad. Because the illness spreads and could end up killing him. If the illness causes pain, then a person isn't happy about the pain. But if he understands that through the pain, he discovers that there's something wrong with him and he can cure it, then he is thankful to the pain, to the fact that he has a pain. He's thankful for the fact that he has a pain. He goes to a doctor. The doctor examines him and tells him, you have a sickness that's terrible. So does he hate the doctor? On the contrary, he thanks the doctor. He even pays him. Why? Because the doctor told him something bad. The doctor told him something, told him what he had. But now he's discovered he's got a problem. That's why it's called help against him. Because it's connected to the goal. So the problem isn't in the blows that will come to humanity. The problem is in how we connect these blows and help humanity quickly connect these blows to the goal. And then the next stage will be the healing. And when we bring to humanity the knowledge about the blows, then we, along with this knowledge, we also bring the knowledge about the healing and the cure and the goal, that all of your illness, the blows you feel, all of that is to your benefit. If from this moment on you start relating to this whole process that's ahead of you as purposeful, in a purposeful way, everything will turn around. Say me, instead of those 20 heads of states, if they would ask me, I would tell them, we don't care what you do with the banks or anything, but next to it, build an education system.
World education system. Dedicate money to it. 10%, Marcel.
Tithing.
We will educate with this money all the people, wherever they live.
The world they live in, the kind of world they live in.
we will explain to them that it's purposeful to their own benefit. They feel pressured and don't know what's about to happen today or tomorrow. The moment that people start to hear nature, this general nature, is no longer in positive and we're in negative. And then we have here the difference and we're in tension. Also, we want to be in the positive. And then, along with nature, we're in balance, in harmony. Even though we have not corrected ourselves yet, but we want to move towards it. It's like a little kid that starts to listen to his parents. He didn't want to hear, and then suddenly he starts to hear. So even if it's still a big distance from being a good kid, but it's already changing direction from being against to being pro. And it's enough for the whole of humanity to stop getting blows. That's what I would recommend to them. Only to know about Ezer Kenegdo, help against him, that all of those things are coming in order to educate us correctly. Do we have time still? Okay. Yes, please.
Du groupe pour la correction du monde, il faut que nous nous initions dans le groupe et pour s'unir dans le groupe, l'or maquif récolté pendant les cours du matin est importante. Comment arriver à influencer les amis pour qu'ils aillent au cours du matin récolter cet or maquif?
He asked, in sense, how can we influence others to turn to the Creator to attract the surrounding light, because you understand that we have to unite. So you want to understand how can he cause friends to wake up to the morning lesson to attract the surrounding light. We attract upper force on us, on our desire to advance when we study together the wisdom of Kabbalah. Why is that? Where is the force to advance come from? After all, we go against nature. If I have to be wise or some expert in some field, then I go to university, finish school, and so on and so on. It's pretty clear how I advance. I acquire. I'm in a growing ego, more, and the more it grows, the better. Here, I go in a way, and it's opposite. On the one hand, my ego is growing. On the other hand, I have to ascend above it. Afterwards, my ego grows further, and I have to grow above it, against it, to use it as an assistant against it. How can I do it? What can I do it by? I become more and more egoistic and turn it into in order to bestow, into giving, a great and greater giving. How can I do it? I can only do it through connecting myself with this upper force, with a spiritual force. How do I connect myself with that spiritual force? Yeah, it's the Creator. By the book, by the studying. Meaning Kabbalist writes in the book for me, write for me in the books about the Creator. I'm here and reading the book whereby I read about him, meaning about the Creator. And what do I get out of it? What is the difference between the degrees? That in this degree, I am one. In this degree, I have to be connected to, say, 10 people. In this degree, say, I'm willing to be connected to 1,000 people until I become connected to the whole of humanity. So I am in a group. Which I don't want them, I hate them, I don't care about them. But against my will, I know that in order to ascend to the next degree, I must have those guys, must be with them. So I study with them how, when we are in the same place, in the spiritual degree, how what are the spiritual laws. Therefore, when we study it, the surrounding light comes to us as if through the Creator, but it comes in essence through all of these degrees. That's how it comes to me from a higher degree, and then it attracts me, pulls me up to that higher degree. That is what called the light that corrects, that repents. So each time my ego is greater, here I am in my next degree, my ego grew further. They add ego to me, having added ego. This is ego number one, ego number two. I'm doing the same again. Now I just have to connect to more people, to a greater connection. And again, from the world of Ein Sof appears a force to me, how to connect to a higher degree. And that's how we grow further. So it turns out that I and the group and the Creator are together. That's how we operate. And we cannot have one without the other. That with a small group. Now we, everyone, with the whole of humanity together in order to come to the Creator. The same picture, same mechanism. Now, the question was how to compel them to come to the lesson. I don't think that this is the goal that's ahead of us, that we will gather, say, let's say you in some city and he and him, and I think our problem is that we have to build a system where we feel each one virtually and through that virtual form spiritually connect to one another during the lesson, and also not only during the lesson, during the time of the lesson, and also not only in when we are in real time in our lesson. When I give a lesson in Israel, because the time difference is big. If I start to study at 3 o'clock in the morning there, so here it's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's really bad, you know, what a person will get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and not sleep till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. How would it work later on? And in Russia, in the meantime, when we sit 3 to 6, that it could be from 5 to 7, 8 in the morning. People have to go to work already, long time ago. So in America, in the meantime, it already depends what America, whether it's LA or New York. People could be still in the middle of the work. So we cannot determine to a person to be in real time with us together. Rather, all in all, we have to make sure that we have some matrix where we see everyone, where we sense them, where we be in such connection, we have to build such virtual environment where we will be comfortable to feel ourselves together.
like we are together. You don't know all the people that are here. It doesn't matter. But you feel their spirit. Slowly how it comes and unites and warms and how it affects you. Because ascending from one degree to another is very simple. You have an ego. Say here it's 10 kilograms. And here it's about 800 kilograms of ego. Where would you take the force versus those 800 kilograms to ascend above your ego? Only from the group. Because I turn to the group. Like Bala Sulam explained in the article, the free choice or the freedom. And the group must bring me the importance of connection with the Creator. The importance of the goal. The group must give me such importance that you have nothing if you don't attain it. Without it, you're nothing. And we know how much environment can change our whole life. And change all our systems. Therefore, if I don't receive from the society the greatness of the Creator and my own lowness, that who am I if I don't attain Him? That I'm nothing if I don't attain Him? Then I have nothing to turn to the Creator with. I would even depict it differently, that and this is maybe more correct way to read about it, that I turn to the group and the group acts not to me where I can sense it, rather through me into my point in the heart, and I don't feel what I received from the group. Just I feel something else. Out of my point in the heart, it goes to the Creator. The Creator feels what I have in the point in the heart from the group, and accordingly it gives me strength. I only feel the sum, only that last manifestation. It turns out that the more I turn to the group, that's what I can supervise. This is the I. This is myself. Everything outside of it is not in my hands. I don't even feel how it works, how it operates. Same in relation to the whole of humanity. The more I act towards humanity, I can to some degree measure and testify for it. Whatever I receive, I don't sense it, because it comes from a more internal system within me, the degree of the system of the next degree. Therefore, I only see consequences, results.
Well, there's a lot more to it. We'll talk about it. Well, I think that'll be the end of it, okay?